for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Saturday morning service of July the 9th, 1994, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Monta is the speaker for the morning. Should this tape for any reason prove to be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
Well, Brother George Monta is coming to minister the word of the Lord to us this morning, and we appreciate it. I'm sorry, I thought you did that. Well, we'll add it to tonight's offering. And Father, we thank you for it this morning. We bless those, Father, who have supplied it. For Father, we thank you. And we thank you for laying it on their hearts and supplying their need, Father, as well. And we thank you for it. Amen.
I think I'm on now. Adair, come up. Oh, hallelujah. It's so good to be here. It is just absolutely the center of God's will for each of us. This morning will be the most important morning of your life. It's the only morning you have right now, so you may as well take advantage of it. And most of you are all here, and that's good. Oh, isn't God good? Hallelujah. There's a little song that I can remember going back to when I was a child. It came up probably out of the Azusa Street revival. And I can remember sitting with the tears running down my face, listening to the adults around me singing, wondering what they meant and why I felt the way I did. Oh, we are so blessed, people. I don't even know if I can talk this morning. The Shekinah glory is here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. At thy feet I fall, yielding up my all to suffer, live or die for my crucified. At thy feet I fall, yielding up my all to suffer, live or die for my Lord crucified. Sing it now with me. At thy feet I fall, yielding up my all, to suffer, live or die, for my Lord crucified. Did you mean it? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say, do it to me, Lord?
She always has something.
I didn't know what he was going to sing. That's why I'm always just a little bit behind him.
I never tell her anything.
And then I have to hunt around and find the note in my head before I try to bring it out. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
We know that little chorus. And we sing, and we will be glad and rejoice in it. But actually, we have a choice. And sometimes we don't make the right choice. Sometimes we sort of choose to be dumpy. We choose to not walk in the light as we know the light. We choose not to receive. But this day is different, I feel. I feel that everybody has come in here expecting and believing and deciding to receive that which God is giving out today. And He's giving out good things. He's giving out blessings. He's giving out showers of blessings, and you have already received some. Remain open, and you'll get more and more.
Hallelujah. See, that was good. I don't know if I can do this. I like to have it done to me.
I can't see what I'm doing.
Oh, help me. Thank you. This morning, you will hear probably the most important message you will ever hear. And it's a precious message. And I'm going to listen to it with you. And as a little bit of an introduction, I'm going to tell you a few things. Remember, I talked to you about hallelujah. Don't forget that. The word G-U-L, ghoul, in the Old Testament, means to spin around under a powerful emotion of recognition, sometimes in fear, sometimes in cringing, but usually in joyful worship. Ghoul. Say ghoul.
Ghoul.
Okay. The word C-H-U-L, chol, or chill, is the Hebrew word, which means to twist around or whirl in a circular spinning manner, especially to dance as in a circle or to turn around. But its underlying meaning, and listen to this, I didn't tell you this last time, is to writhe in pain as in childbirth. The Hebrew woman, to loose the baby for birth, would squat down and then whirl as she groaned. Oh! And then she would squat, as you know, and deliver the baby herself and put it to her bosom. And people, let your worship rise in an authority of the presence. Let worship be a recognition of presence, and don't make it up. Let it be a real recognition of presence. Oh, hallelujah. Another word for worship in the Old Testament is M-A-C-H-O-L. This is a circular dance, a dancing in chorus form when everybody dances by circling around and sometimes circling, holding hands, kicking their feet out, doing that kind of stuff. Okay? Let your worship now become the authority of God's presence and the recognition. And when you sing songs toward Him, address Him. And sometimes it's good to say thou, and sometimes it's good to say you. But make sure that you know that you are addressing the vortex of all eternity focused on you. Oh, I've started to talk to you children about some laws. I've started to talk to you about a reality that's growing in you and will continue to grow. I'm talking to you about something which I am doing in each of you. And I want you to know that my communication with you is not through the Bible per se, but through the living word as it flows out of the Bible. Make sure, children, oh, make sure that when you come to me in the word, you don't come to me in a spirit of religious grasping or into solving your problems, but rather in dealing with your growth. Make sure that you grow before me, that you learn to groan and grow before me in openness and readiness to hear what I have to say. And do it all with a yieldedness. For I have much to say to you. I have much to say to you. Sometimes you look at people like I look at Jack Harris. I have to confess, terrible, terrible envy. When he gets up to speak, I just fizzle. I just think, oh, if I live 200 more years, I won't get that way, God. And the Lord always grabs me by the scruff of the neck and says, stop it. You aren't no way to begin with. You'll never be any way. He is His way, and you are, or He is my way, and you are my way. Now stop it, or you'll begin to imitate that.
You'll never hear what I have to say for these people. Don't imitate. Be imitators of me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Isn't that a terrible thing for God to say, be imitators of me? If I told you all to stand up and be imitators of me, what would you do?
I mean, imitators of God. You could all imitate me. All you have to do is cry a little bit, and you got me down pat. I'm a little bit like Gene Moody. Sometimes I can hardly... Oh, I just weep so easily in the presence of Jesus. Remember, kids came to my office after the Lord drew me back. I lived for many, many years in absolute, total rebellion. Despicable. I hesitate even to mention the dreadful things that I went through when my life caved in after I got kicked out of Bible school. And I went to the university and I studied philosophy, psychology, and a whole bunch of baloney. Thinly sliced baloney. And after about 12 years of dreadful, dreadful rebellion, unclean rebellion, taking of drugs, LSD and marijuana and all that, heavy drinking. God, one night, without any warning, I sat down and at the absolute lunacy of where I was, I sat down on the floor, folded my arms. Adair sat behind me on the hearth. We were going to do a meditation. It was 10 o'clock at night. Without any warning, without every eye closed, every head bowed, or any of that stuff, the Holy Spirit came in. And I could feel the hand on my back and pushed me till my forehead was riveted on the carpet. Now that's not comfortable. From 10 o'clock, and I knew it was exactly 10 o'clock when he started, until 3 in the morning, he held me there and began to reveal to me his call on my life. He showed me the demonic, satanic things I was in. He didn't tell me much about deliverance then, but that's probably his timing. I had to get delivered from all of it. But at that point, he electrified me. It was a Damascus road for Adair and me both. For 5 full hours, he did his thing in her and did his thing in me. The next day when I went to school, the children came right up to me in the hallway and said, Mr. Mata, what happened to you? They probably thought I had my hair fixed different or something. But there was a radiance. The kid, I said, just come up to my office. I was head of the social studies department. I had a nice big office. From that day until I quit teaching some years later, the kids came up every day, but one particular day, and I told this last camp meeting, so some of you have heard this. The kids were in there, and we'd sing and do all kinds of nifty things, pray and testify. And one little ninth grader, as he was kind of sitting down, he said, you'll never guess what I did this morning. And then his face turned absolutely crimson. And he says, oh, forget it. Well, you can imagine a bunch of 15, 20, 25 high school kids after an invitation like that, they began to needle him and said, oh, come on, tell us. No, I can't tell you. You gotta tell us. No, I can't. Well, this went on for a while. It was fun. I loved watching them. Finally, the little guy knew that the whole hour would be taken up with him saying no and them saying do. Finally, he said, well, all right. He says, this morning, while I was praying, I felt so close to the Lord, I told him a joke. If I could convey to you the hunger that filled us for that kind of intimacy, if I could explain to you what went through us by the Spirit of God with that little innocent kid saying, I told the Lord a joke. I've never gotten around to telling him a joke. But I've gotten close enough to where I can hear him laugh at me. Oh. Don't you love him? Don't you love him? I can't even focus my eyes. The presence of Jesus is here with such blinding beauty. The angels at this very moment are prostrate before him. His whole entourage is here. This place is just crowded with a great cloud of witnesses. This place is crowded with your angels and mine and his. Probably stood in line for the last 200 years waiting for a chance to come in to see this in operation, because this is the King in all his beauty. This is the temple of his glory. This is where he is functioning right this moment now, here. Yes. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Now he's saying to you, children, this is Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Children, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts, in regard to its desire systems. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision. Make no provision. Make no provision. Now, in your heart, if you're like I am, you have made a mental note. I'm going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ if it kills me. As soon as I read these kind of things, my soul gets highly religious. And my soul says it's going to help you if you just quote that over and over. Like Polly's going to put on the Lord Jesus. Polly wants a cracker and then he'll put on the Lord Jesus. Polly is going to watch this and this and then he'll put on the Lord Jesus. But put on the Lord Jesus, put on the Lord Jesus. You know that if your soul puts it on, without the careful direction of the Holy Spirit himself, and without it turning out to be Jesus himself that you put on, you put on religious concepts that will hold you in bondage and will lead you into emotional nonsense. I love to weep before the Lord, but the Lord says, don't be deceived. Your soul will make you weep your way right into error, right into gullibility. And anyone who has a clever tongue will lead you into a really neat thing. And your emotions will guide you just as sure as a horse is guided by the bit in his mouth. When you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, you put him on by getting rid of the old man in prayer, in travail, in dancing, in worship, in the Word. But the old man has to be driven off of you. And a new man, Jesus Christ, comes on in your surrender, in your yieldedness. You want that? Do you want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in a new, more powerful way? How many do? All right, say, Lord Jesus, in faith, I put you on. In the reality of your spirit and life, say it. I put you on. Let the Holy Spirit drive off everything that would hinder. In faith, I now have you on. Jesus, function over me. Function through me. Function in me. Oh, hallelujah. The Spirit is now saying, and be sure that you test yourself regularly to see that you are in faith. Test yourself regularly to see that you are in faith. How do you test yourself? One of the things is to look at your track record for the day. Look at your thought life. If your thoughts are constantly negative, if you are being driven by the forces of the world, chances are you are not in faith. You are in duty. You are in obligation. You are in an assignment you think that God gave you. The assignment for you today is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk in his absolute perfect centered will. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, this is such a hard, hard thing. The theme for today is it was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Freedom always and only and always is an aspect of government. America is supposed to be the home of the brave and the land of the free.
How many of you know that not everyone who lives in America is free? There are some who are in prison. There are some who are in sickness. There are some who are in poverty. There are some who are in, 10,000 other things that hold them in error about America. Just simple citizenship. They are not free because they don't know what their rights are. They don't know even how to go to the town hall and look up the records. They've never gone in and said to the town clerk, would you show me the records? I want to trace this and this and this. They've not gone to town meetings. They've not gone to school board meetings. Therefore, they don't know the freedom that is theirs or how to exercise it. God is saying to you, I'm going to bring you now into government, and it's the government of the kingdom of God. Just look across the page to Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of God, he says first, what it is not. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, it doesn't attend to the lust of the flesh in the area of eating and drinking. There is a way of eating and drinking that masks what's going on. The Romans mastered this in their bread and circuses. You know that. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Say it. Righteousness. Peace. And joy. Say it.
In the Holy Ghost.
Again, louder.
In the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost. This means that at 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to, you can be in the Holy Ghost and have this. Righteousness, joy, and peace. Right? That's true. But why have such a crazy sense of error that you can be in the Holy Ghost and out of the Holy Ghost? By the Father's doing, you are inserted into Christ Jesus, who has become your righteousness, who has become your sanctification, who has become your redemption. By the Father's doing, ye are in Christ Jesus. You need to enter as soon as you awaken in the morning. Take your consciousness and move it directly into the Holy Ghost. You do this by an act of your will. You do it by discernment. You do it by examining where you are in your spirit. And if you are not in the Holy Ghost, you fall by your bed and cry. Yea, scream. Whirl around like a baby, like a woman having a baby, or a baby and a woman who's about to be born. Yes, see to it that you get inserted in the Holy Ghost to start your day. I can't say that strong enough. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to 1 Corinthians 4:20. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul is such a precious, precious vessel. He says in verse 19 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but I'm going to find out their power. The Apostle Paul examined people in regard to their power, from which authority flows, from which freedom flows. You want to get a real happy time? Go to a church and say, I'm going to start examining the power here now. Yeah. People have to keep coming back to Camp Hamilton because they go back to their churches, and the churches are without power. They're without anointing, without unction. They have got a lot of religion, and some of it is really fun. But it doesn't produce in them an overwhelming, awesome, awe-filled sense of the presence of God. And so they walk as an empty, empty vessel, not being filled. You got to be filled. You got to be filled over and over. I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant. The word arrogant comes from the root word arrogate. Arrogate means to claim an authority which you in fact do not possess. To claim an authority or a power or anything that you do not possess. And an arrogant person, if he's a good salesman, can convince people that he got the stuff. And furthermore, he can preach it in such a way as to make you think it. And before long, he can even make you bow to the image he has resurrected or raised up. And then he sounds the sack button psaltery, and you do, ooh, 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 to his message, to his sense of arrogated power, which he does not have except in word, but not in power. Then he says, children, and listen to this, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. The kingdom of God does not exist, does not consist in words, plural, but in power. You want the power? Raise your hands. All right, Father, say it.
Father.
By the Holy Spirit,
I call
unto you,
knowing
that you will answer me
and show me great
and wonderful things.
I call for power in the name of Jesus.
I call for the power of the Holy Spirit
to cleanse me,
to change me,
to quicken me,
to empty me,
to bring me into your image.
In the name of Jesus, I will not dance to another melody.
I will not believe another gospel.
I will accept only the Holy Spirit
at work in me
through these vessels.
Amen.
And Paul says, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? I think Paul was perfectly capable of coming with a rod. I think the disciples were perfectly capable to saying to a person, drop dead. You can't purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. Or to turn to a little damsel saying, you are the best preacher I ever heard. You are divine. You are a prophet of God. And to turn and say, shut your mouth, you devils. The power has to flow out of a sense of communion, community, and connection with God himself. The Holy Spirit has to communicate to you power. And power has to be based in word, or it's not authority-based power. It has to be in the word. This means you've got to begin your day with word. You've got to end your day with word. Don't leave your bedroom without opening your Bible. And I think it's really good to start with Genesis and go right through to Revelations at least once a year. And then have little places where you go through, like the Proverbs. There's one for every day of the month. Read your proverb until they really sing a message into your heart. So that your behavior becomes orderly because of the word of God working in your mind. Oh, hallelujah. Galatians 3:27. I haven't gotten to my message yet. Oh, boy. The introduction to 27 is verse 26. For you are all what? Sons of God. And that is a generic term which includes men and women, boys and girls. For you are all sons of God. Say, I'm a son of God. Now say it like you mean it. When Jesus said he was the Son of God, what did the Pharisees want to do? They wanted to kill him. You must be able to say with the authority, I am a son of God, that drives the devils crazy and they want to kill you. Don't rest until you are at unrest. Be anxious for everything about the kingdom and anxious for nothing about the soul and that kind of stuff. We get so busy with our daily stuff that we miss the overriding sense of God himself talking to us, instructing us, leading us. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have done what? You have put on Christ. You have clothed yourself with Christ. Clothed yourself with Christ. Oh, shakalia rabora pashanda in ye karatora dunula makaya. Children, I don't want you to be of fear, thinking you can't attain unto this. For your adequacy is not of yourself, but your adequacy is of me. I want you to know that I have provided for you a very special closet filled with the clothing I want you to wear. Know that I will robe you in the robes of righteousness. Know that I will clothe you with myself. I will clothe you with my power. I will clothe you with my authority. I will give to you the things that you desire of me. But you must unclothe yourself with yourself. You must lay aside those things of the flesh which entangle you and your consciousness with the weights of worldly things. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. Oh, hallelujah. Job 29:14.
I love it when the big vessels, the big guns get up and say, now look back at Job. I've never made a lot of sense out of Job. And I can find it. It's right here. Job 29:14. Job 29:14. How many got it? You find it? Okay, you got your sword ready. Job is saying, I put on righteousness. That's a past tense. I put it on. He says, I put on righteousness. And it clothed me. Then he says, my justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eyes to the blind and I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. I investigated the case which I did not know. When you clothe yourself with Christ, you put on righteousness, just as the Lord spoke to us. He says, my justice was like a robe and a turban. Oh, people, justice is the underlying, undergirding principle of righteousness in the kingdom. The church is being robbed. The devil is eating the lunch of family after family. Justice is not being done. And in order for justice to be done, you have to know that you have come to Mount Zion, the seat of justice. You have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come. You have come to the God, the judge of all. The judge meets out justice. Most saints say, God, don't give me justice, give me mercy. And that's true, you know that. We all are here because of His mercy. If we got the justice we deserved, oh, we wouldn't even have been born. But we were birthed, and then we were birthed again. Some of you have been birthed several times. Some of you have been born, stillborn. You know that. Scripture says often, oh, they were born and there was no one to deliver. It was a stillbirth. If there are any stillbirths here now, we hold you up and we give your rear end, that's the center of your attention, we give it a whack. Say, wake up! Thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, and Christ will be your light. The awakened process of walking in the Lord is walking in the light of Christ, being children of light, knowing light from darkness. You were formerly children of darkness, but you are now children of light in the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Now say, I am light in the Lord. Holy Spirit, make it so. Oh, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. All right, I guess we're ready now to start on my message. Turn to Romans 7:1. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Lord is saying to me, to all of us, make sure that your foundation of understanding includes all the elements of that which I am trying to tell you. So often there are gaps in your understanding that mean open doors for error or for demonic involvement. Make sure that there are no gaps. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's what he said to me while I was turning to Romans chapter 7. Having problems finding Romans, I couldn't decide if it was the New Testament or the Old Testament. And the Lord says, come on now, listen. We are governed in our moving in government toward freedom by inexorable laws. James 1:25. He says, do that first. See how quick I found it? Verse 25. It says, but one, I'm reading New American Standard, so it'll differ a little bit from the old King James or the New King James. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, and he says the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If you look right across the page to verse 12, I mean, you know, across the column, if you have a Bible like mine, verse 12 of chapter 2, so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by what? The law of liberty or the law of freedom? Now, I don't want to upset you, but I think I will anyhow. If you're driving down the street going 50 miles an hour, in an area that looks like 50 mile an hour area, and you see the little blue light or the red light, depending on what state you're in, behind you flashing in your rearview mirror, it's a real treat, isn't it? Do you just keep driving, saying, you know what would happen? Pretty soon there'd be three of them back there. Pretty soon there'd be a roadblock. And you're not even important. So you wind your window down, and you say, yeah. And the officer says, you were going 50 miles an hour. And you say, I know it, I got a speedometer. He says, this is a 25 mile an hour zone. Guy says, well, if it wasn't posted, I didn't see it. I didn't know about that. The officer then gets out his handkerchief and starts to cry. He says, oh, I'm so sorry, you were ignorant of the law. This, of course, excuses you. Go and be happy. No, he takes out his little thing, he writes you a ticket, and you have to pay. Because every kingdom is governed by laws which must be obeyed, or there's a consequence. You must obey the perfect law of liberty, or you cannot walk in freedom. You cannot walk guided by the Holy Ghost. That's it. Amen. The tragedy is that the church has been filled with so much futurism, so much nonsense about doctrine and divisions and about whether you should get divorced or not get divorced, or if you can get married if you get divorced, if that's adultery or not adultery, that they have missed the inscribing of that perfect law in their heart. They have not been to Mount Sinai, where God himself takes his finger and writes the law in their heart. Of course, he does that at Mount Zion. He doesn't do that at Sinai. At Sinai, he writes it in another place. But at Mount Zion, he takes that very same law, and he writes it in your mind so you can know it, and he writes it in your heart so you can grow it and do it and become it. You become the fulfillment of the law, and the law in its perfection is the law of liberty. It's the thing from which we get our freedom. The laws of liberty, what are they? Father, I want you to tell us now, into our crowded, clouded minds, some of the laws which govern, that you call through James the perfect law of liberty, as though we know all about it. Father, we don't know about it. We are living in ignorance for the most part, Father. We hardly know your Bible, let alone your word. Oh, God. Let me tell you, my children, that most of my laws are inscribed in the center of your desiring system as you come to know me. As you come close to me, I write in you the ways that you come closer. I teach you how to disrobe yourself of those old things. I teach you about deliverance. I teach you about the laws of demonology. I teach you about the effects of spiritual adultery as well as real adultery. I teach you about fornication. I tell you, people, as that law is written into you by my spirit, you recognize a prostitute harlot church and you move away until you come out from among them, and in a separate way you find those who have seen me, those who have been with me on the mountain high up there, those who have seen me high and lifted up, those who have grasped the train of my garments and have become a part of me, those who have been straightened up after I've touched them. The law, as it's written into your heart, is by my finger as I touch you. This is done in absolute silence and absolute privacy. It is not a public thing. You cannot be taught it except by my Spirit. Submit yourself to me now and let me write my law in your heart. I'll do it, yea, even this very minute, if you but ask, says the Lord. Say, Father, we open our hearts. You promised to write your law in our heart. Now write it, oh God. Oh, God, write it. Write it in my mind so I can at least understand it. Say it. Write it in my mind so I can understand it. Oh, hallelujah. You young people, I want you to know that there are laws that will help you so much. Some of you have had driver training. Oh, I hated to have to back up into that parking place. I remember driving through Minnesota once, pulling a trailer, and there was a car going across a long bridge. There were no cars coming. I could see down the road for miles. And so I whipped around him. There wasn't a double line there. And when I got across, red light, I pulled over. I don't know if Derek can remember that or not. I got out. Whenever I have that happen, I have a very unfortunate and uncomfortable intestinal reaction to that sort of experience. I really do. And I just felt, oh my goodness, this is terrible. A policeman came up and he said, you passed that car on the bridge. Well, it was obvious. You know, that didn't take discernment. I just did it. And then he looked at me and his eyes changed. And he said, sir, here in Minnesota, in these beautiful parks, we want you to be safe. And what you did was not safe. Right away, my goat says, but there were no cars coming. It was clear. There was no double line. He said, sir. And he looked at me with a real beautiful look of compassion. And he said, sir, if that car had swerved even a little bit, you were on a bridge. You had no place to go. You didn't make provision for what might have happened. And that's just not safe. He said, I'm not going to give you a ticket. I can see you want to drive safe. Now I'm going to help you drive safe. Don't do that anymore. Did he threaten me? Yeah. His very authority threatened me. The fact that he took it out and did it like this threatened me. But when I saw into his eyes, I saw something of the perfect law of liberty, which has to do with being safe, being centered in what is right. God wants you to live an intelligent life. He wants you mothers to understand how to run a budget, how to keep a house clean, how to do the things you need to do. He wants you young people to know the joy of a disciplined, godly life. Make you preoccupied with things that will affect your whole biology, affect your hormones. You can be taken captive by terrible things. You can be ensnared. At one place, the apostle says, we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. When I read that, I always say, oh God, we are too. We're ignorant of the devil himself. We're ignorant that the devil is real. We're ignorant of this great host of witnesses on the other side that are here wanting our downfall, speaking against us. If you knew all the words spoken against Blake Hamilton, it would absolutely astound you. How many of you want those words to stop, to be nullified? Repeat, Jesus, you are Lord. Stop every foul word.
Stop every foul word.
Ever spoken.
Against Blake Hamilton.
We rebuke those words.
We rebuke those who spread them. Command that they be blessed but informed. In the name of Jesus, every word will stop. Thank you, Lord. Words come against you. Often when Adair and I are talking with someone, we will be able to see almost a library of things said against the people we're talking to. Our heart just breaks. It's difficult to get in and take care of that. When God said to Ezekiel, I want to rebuild the temple and the city, go dig in the wall. They dug in the wall. He dug in the wall. There was a door. He dug through the door. Came into what the King James Version calls the chambers of imagery. In there were inscribed horrible abominations, terrible things, inscribed into the very consciousness and civic life of that great, great, great people. God says those abominations have to be erased, have to be scraped out. The words spoken against Lake Hamilton will have residual effects. By the word of God, we scrape them away. We open the city back up to the wonderful work being done here. That poison creates a toxicity. All of you know about toxicity. You know that Jim Henson, for instance, had a simple biological attack by a microbe that suddenly began to multiply until he became so toxic that in 3 days he was dead. We take care of that toxicity in the name of Jesus. We take care of it in the name of Jesus. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Now, all right, I want to get at the Romans 7. But he says, first read Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1. The New American Standard is not quite as clear as the King James in this, in terms of your familiarity. But it's the New American Standard says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. This is in a continuing perfect tense. It was for freedom that Christ continues to set us free. I want you to say, Christ has set me free. Christ continues to set me free. Christ will keep me free by His word. In the Spirit. Amen. He says that it was for freedom you were set free. Now, keep doing what? Keep doing what? Keep standing firm. Keep standing firm in that freedom. All right, we're talking about freedom. We're talking about the underlying, the underpinnings of kingdom, government, regulation. We know that it's in power. We know it's not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. If your peace has been stolen from you, you need to go ask for justice. If you are living a life full of anxiety, oh, I'd like to just set you free. Because so many of you are saying, oh, this sounds so good, I'm not going to catch on. I just won't be able to do it. Paul makes provision for that when he says, now you're saying, who's adequate for this? Who's adequate? He said, hey, don't sweat it. Our adequacies of God. Don't sweat it. Wear the linen breeches in worship. The linen breeches were designed so as to prevent all perspiration. That's a pretty nice thing, isn't it? Wear your linen breeches in worship. This means cease striving and know that I am God. Cease striving and know that I am God. This is not easy. You cannot go in your bedroom and sit down and know that God is God. Except by the Spirit. As He reveals Himself to you. The law governing that aspect of the kingdom is you strive and you can't know. You strive harder and you can't grow. You end up being a stunted, shriveled Christian who has memorized a lot of scripture and can't do anything. Amen. And you don't want that, do you? You don't need to do it. You got to cease striving until you know. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Well, this is Romans 7, verse 1. With this, I may begin my message. Do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law. Do you know the law? Have you read the Ten Commandments recently? Have you read through Leviticus, Deuteronomy? Do you know how very careful the Lord is with his holy things? Do you know he requires us or desires us to know the difference between the sacred and the profane? Do you know that in Ezekiel he says, has Ezekiel, tell the priests, now when you go in to do worship before God, you wear your holy garments. When you finish the worship, you take your holy garments off and you put them in the sacred closet. Because if you go down in among the people, you will communicate holiness through your garments to those people. Most preachers want to do that. But what this means is that if you wear the holy garments where you are not supposed to, you not only contaminate the holy garments, you contaminate the consciousness of the people by putting holiness into their soul rather than into their spirit. And they begin to do the stuff instead of be the stuff. And that's the worst kind of hypocrisy. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to be trained. Oh, say, God, train us. God, train us in these things. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Those who know the law. Some of you are real young and you don't know much of anything. That's okay. As long as you stay empty before the Lord and get before him for training. He will train you in things as you grow, which are appropriate to your growth. There are times when he will take the eagle lesson that Art gave and just almost made me weep last night. Along with his testimony, it did. Oh, brother, so much is flowing out of you. It's just wonderful. He will take that and adjust it to your level of understanding. Don't try and be a spiritual being. Try to be real before God. Let the word adjust itself to your understanding so you don't memorize stuff way above your where you are. Unless the Spirit is saying, I've got a place to show you about the Holy of Holies. But be honest. Be honest before the Lord. Be a child. Verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to what? You were made to die to the law. Say, I'm dead to the law. What a death that is. Because the law is only a tutor to lead us to Christ. You can't combine law and Christ in the same garments, the same package. You can have one or the other. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you to think that you can have circumcision of the law and not obey the whole law? You are severed from Christ. You have fallen from grace. He says almost with a plea for mercy for them. You have become religious. Therefore, you must be dead to the law. You must be dead to the doctrines that try and govern the minutiae, the little things of your life. Because the letter kills. And the Spirit makes alive. Paul says, I didn't know coveting until the law said, thou shalt not covet. And from that moment on, all I could do was covet. Until the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me free from the law of sin and death. If you are under the law of sin and death, guess what? You got to obey it. You suffer the consequences of that law. You break the law and you are vulnerable to every evil thing that will come on you in the curses in the Bible. If you are under the law of grace, you are governed by the law of grace, and you can rest in it. If you are under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you know that it sets you free from every other law, and you must not submit yourself, nor your members, to those other laws. Now that may sound hard to you, but only because you're hoping you can remember it long enough to put it into practice. Therefore, say, I submit to the perfect law of liberty, to be governed by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets me free from every other law.
Raise your hands and say, thank you. I am free. I am free.
Oh, hallelujah. There's a wonderful, wonderful story, a true story of a Greek patriot that got caught up in the war against the Nazis. And he led an underground movement that drove them crazy, and one day they caught him. They took him to the public square where he was surrounded by all of his family and his loved ones. And there they began to beat him. And he opened his mouth and he said, El Pharaoh! El Pharaoh! And immediately they grabbed him, yanked his tongue out and cut it off. And then they began to stab him. And as he was bleeding, with his mouth wide open, they could still hear him, and this is all photographed, saying, oh, 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 until he died. Eleuthero is freedom. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. There is nothing more important in your life than freedom. And if the devil were to come and cut your tongue out, you are still to be crying, Eleuthero, it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. The perfect law of freedom that governs your life from the inside and makes available to you these wonderful and precious promises. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, my brethren, you died to the law through the body of Christ that's precious, so that you might be joined to another. That you might be joined to him who was raised from the dead. You can't be joined. There's no joining people until there's a death to the law. Until you get out from under all of the religious rigmarole. And you stand naked before him saying, I have nothing to offer. I can't obey your law. I can't do anything. I therefore... And he says, you're joined to me now. I join you to me. And that joining is a joining that makes you one with his consciousness, makes you one with his desire systems, makes you one with all that he is. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. That you might be joined to another, joined to him, and listen to this, who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. This life of freedom is a fruitful life. This life of freedom bears fruit in your life. Not enough fruit. You don't have enough fruit. Most of you are anxiety-ridden, self-centered. That very thing that should have died had you grown up under the authority of a real body-centered group. That self thing has to die. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet, not I, but Christ lives me. The I there in the Greek is spelled E-G-O. You can look it up in Strong's. E-G-O. Ego has been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, ego lives, but it is no longer my ego. It's no longer hooked to my ancestry. It's no longer hooked to my selfish things. That ego now is driven by the faith and the life and the ego of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ego is point of view and priority systems put together, combined with consciousness. Now, that's a lot to remember. Get the tape. Think about it. It amazes me when these things flow out of my mouth this way. But that's the way it is. Ego has been crucified with Christ. Say, I have been crucified.
I have been crucified.
With Christ.
With Christ.
Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ in me and through me. Oh, hallelujah. You people are wonderful. You make me feel like you believe this. How many of you believe this? How many of you can feel it being ministered to you? You see, it's coming in. It's coming in as freedom. In time, this understanding will begin to work a transformation in you. One of the laws that you have to obey that goes along with the law of faith, the law of freedom, the law that works in your members, these are all laws. You violate them,
in trouble unless you get out from under them. You move over into the next county. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? That you present your what? Your bodies. That means the whole meat thing, including your memories, because they are encoded in meat. You get hit on the head with a bat and you see how quick your brain gives up all its thoughts. I present my body, all that it means, all its memories, all its curses, I present that by the mercy of God. And then he says, and be not conformed. Con means with. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Most of you have the foggiest notion of the enormous complexity of your mind. Someone this morning was saying to me, and my mind's a little overcharged right now, but they were saying that we use only maybe 10% of our mind. 90% remains either unused or totally hidden. You know, that's a crime. But the fact of the matter is, that's the way it works. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, the Spirit is saying, I will teach you how to employ that part of your mind which is governed by my presence. I will teach you how to employ and utilize that part of your mind which is governed by the living word. Make sure that it's the living word, because it divides between soul and spirit. The mind that is renewed is subject to the spirit and not to the soul. The mind that is renewed takes the stuff and applies it immediately and uses it. Be not conformed. Con, I said, is the simple word with. Chili con carne means chili with what? Meat. When Paul says, don't be carnally minded, he says, don't be a meathead. That's Jack Hayford's. But I love it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now this teaching on the perfect law of liberty is in two parts. There's half of it today and half of it tomorrow. I only got to a little bit of it today. And I'm not going to stop now. I'm at a point now where the Lord is moving in your life. But I want to encourage you, if you can, either to come tomorrow or get the tape of tomorrow's teaching. Because I'm going to take you into the law of the Spirit of life that sets us free. I'm going to take you into a number of other areas that deal with who we are and what we are as the perfect law of liberty works in us. I'm going to make you law-abiding citizens. How many of you want to be law-abiding citizens? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. The law that came down at Sinai was that which was our guide, our tutor, until the law came down at Zion. At Zion, the law comes by the Holy Ghost. At Zion, the law comes into our heart and cleanses us, not condemns us. Oh, children, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are what? There is therefore now no condemnation. Say, I am not under condemnation. I am not under condemnation. The Spirit has set me free. Ho reabala shanda da da kaya. Yet chanano no moko rapa shaladi dikia sanda. Oh, yashili marananda tataya. I am saying to you in many ways, children, that I am setting you free. I want you to know that condemnation is a process of being evaluated by others in a way that decreases your freedom, in a way that decreases your autonomy. It makes you subject to their concepts and to their ideas, and they may be good concepts and they may be good ideas, but I don't want you subject to anyone's law except mine. And as I bring you more and more into my law, you in you the image of the one who died for you, you will begin to be able to say with authority, but I have the mind of Christ. I will show you, my children, how to walk in day by day conviction that you have the mind of Christ. But even more importantly, I will show you the things which interfere with your discernment of the mind of Christ functioning. There are many things that intrude into your consciousness so that you can't perceive my mind at work in you. And I want you to know my mind, because your mind then will be filled not only with unity with me, but with my love. Then my authority can flow through you in a priestly way that will bless you, a priestly way that will help you see when you have hurt someone or when you've been out of line, when you've let coarse words proceed from your mouth. See, you see, my mind is the undergirding of that perfect law of liberty at work in you. Don't let anything block you from this, my children, saith the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord, He is God. Jalaparadane. Freedom is flowing in. Freedom is flowing in. Condemnation is flowing out. Freedom is flowing in. Condemnation is flowing out. Oh, the Lord is here. He is walking among us. He is transforming us. He is renewing our mind. His word is alive unto righteousness. Hallelujah. The Lord says, I know you're hungry, but one little quick closing of this part. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called or bidden to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom or this freedom into an opportunity for your flesh, but through love serve one another. All Paul is saying is that the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ is so total and complete that it can upset us. It can turn us into licentiousness, as Dr. Null talked about the other day. In fact, brings it up almost every time he teaches. There is a licentiousness which is so deceptive. There's a term in the Old Testament called iniquity. It has to do with licentiousness. It has to do with other words like that. And the word iniquity, as you take it all apart, is the word for willpower exercised on behalf of the person rather than the community. You can be doing absolutely good and beautiful things. If it's out of the will of God, it is licentiousness, and it will draw the blessing of God out of your life. It'll make you so busy that you don't have time to sit in the presence of the Most Holy One. It will dampen your discernment daily. Take the time. Oh, children, take the time until you sit being cleansed daily. And take the time. Let repentance be not just a one-time-a-day thing. Let it be a lifestyle, so that the minute you open your mouth and put your foot in it, I have a size 9.5 mouth. As soon as it happens, say, oh, I am so sorry. To the one that you abused and to the real one you abused, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose mind has been violated, whose will has been set aside by iniquity. Just don't think that that has to do with just bad stuff. It has to do with all stuff aside from the clearly defined will of God. Now, give yourself time to be trained by the Holy Spirit to discern that. When Art was talking, I remembered a picture put on by National Geographic that showed an eagle's nest. How they got up there and took it, I can't even imagine. But it had three eaglets in it and a big mother eagle, the 8-foot kind. And as they were taking it, they were narrating some of the stuff that I was talking about. And then came the time for for the flying lesson. And you never saw anything so cute in all your life. The mother eagle went in, nosed under the eaglets till they got up on the edge of the nest. And then you could see her saying, come on, do this. She was demonstrating. Well, what happened was about a 15 mile an hour wind blew past. And you could see their little wings lift. They created lift. And you could see their little bodies going up and down. You could see them just thinking, woo, woo, woo. She did this for several days until they got the hang of curving their feathers to get just the right, whatever you call that. And pretty soon, she had them up on her back and took them out at a certain height. And then she dropped out from under them and left them. They had forgotten all about the business. And then she'd fly under and catch them, take them back, say, that wasn't so bad. Yeah, but you scared me to death, Ma. Remember how I bore you as on we eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Oh, there's a cleft in the rock, and I will hide you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will pronounce my name before you. Oh, Jili Kareabashana, and I will teach you how to fly, my children. I will make you eagle saints. Oh, yes, just don't be scared to death. I will bring you into resurrection life, the Lord has said. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 16 is my closing. And that's a promise. Verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. But I say, what? Walk. Walk by the Spirit. And you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You got a fleshly problem? You have a bad habit? Someone keeps saying, I just can't help doing it. No, of course you can't. Unless you walk by the Spirit. Do you know how difficult it is to know when you're walking by the Spirit? It's not easy. It takes the Holy Spirit himself prompting you moment by moment. And that takes a sensitizing of yourself to the Spirit. We are trained to be sensitive to the soul. We are trained to listen to our emotions. We are trained to obey our hormones, our metabolism. I'm so worried I can hardly get to the refrigerator fast enough. Sensitive reception of the Holy Spirit to the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit. You know what I found best? Being honest. Running in the room saying, Lord, I miss you. Oh, I want the sense of your presence. In one place here, and I'll read it to the tomorrow morning. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? Paul says that right in this chapter on who has bewitched you. You foolish Galatians. Oh, you foolish Galatians. That's a real good word, isn't it? Where then is that sense of blessing? How come you're all walking around with your face in your shoes? You don't have the sense of blessing. Children, just observe the sense of blessing. When it leaves, run. Confess. I've been living after the flesh. Somehow I got into religion, Lord. Forgive me. Bring me into the Spirit. I want to be subject to your highest law. The perfect law of liberty, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I don't want to be subject to the law of my mind or the law that operates in my members. I want to be free from that. Be honest. Say it. Say it in the name of Jesus. Get on the floor. Beat on the floor with your fist if you have to. It's perfectly okay. I'm going to tell you something. When you call unto him, he will answer. When you knock, he will open. He might scare you to death when he opens, but he'll open. You ask, he'll answer. You seek this thing that you want more than anything else. You know what's going to happen? What? You'll find it. Stand. Oh, Father God, this afternoon we'll have a time of getting rid of the obstacles. We'll have a time of looking at how we break this law so often. The perfect law of liberty, the law of the Spirit of life, these other various laws that are not engraved in our mind at a depth that it really controls our every thought, our every action. We want that, Lord. We feel so inadequate.
Father, in Jesus' name, I minister a new sense of adequacy. I minister a new sense of hope to these people. I minister a new sense of growing up in all things into Christ. Oh, Father, I declare that I have just pulled a pacifier out of their mouth and stuffed a little meat in it. Help them digest it without indigestion. Oh, thank you, Father.
Father,
we receive it. In the name of Jesus.
By the Spirit.
Amen. Oh, Father, just bless the food now. Make it nourishing to our bodies. Bring us all back for the deliverance this afternoon. Amen and amen. See you in the morning.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.